seem all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Okay, so I'm Rebecca, and this is our youth band. And we're so glad that everyone came out today and that we get to come here today to just be like a vessel for Christ and to like, show our love for worshiping and leading worship. But most importantly, I would like to share how really close our youth is and how it's really brought us along an amazing journey. And when I was younger, when I would know someone, I was like, oh my gosh, they go to my church. And people would be like, yeah, like that's cool. But like they didn't understand that what I meant they went to my church was totally different from what they meant. When they meant they go to my church, they meant they see him every other Sunday. When I meant they go to my church, they're like a sibling. I grew up with them. And even if they weren't here for a long time, they still become like family. And that's the thing I love most about our youth. And yeah. So I think if we're all ready to praise the Lord, we're ready to get started.
Oh, give us eyes to see, give us faith to first song that we did as a youth together, one of the first ones, and it really kind of drawed us closer together as a youth. And that was what Becca was saying, is how she loves this youth for the intimacy and how close we are together. And I feel like that because of the music that we've shared, that the gift that God's given us to all draw to one another has kind of let us grow together as one, like spiritually, and know the Father and who He is. And the song is like His Spirit is welcome here, and He fills this atmosphere. And I've been like a little nervous about this Sunday morning and had a little trouble, you know, warming up, but it's backstage, y'all prayed. There was just a wave, an overwhelming wave of His glory that filled this atmosphere. And it was so good because I was like finally open to receive that. And I feel like that this song opened our hearts as a youth to receive His glory that we get to share with you guys. So
more away.
song is definitely one of my favorites because I remember on our first Discipleship Now weekend, we had these speakers come, and she was in the middle of a message, and she was like, "Have y'all ever heard that song, Good Good Father?" And we were all like, "No, not really." And she was like, Greg, like, come play it." And so she showed him the notes, and he started playing it, and I had that song stuck in my head for days. Days I was singing that song. And then I told the youth, I was like, "We need to learn this song. This song is great." And every time I sing it, it brings so much joy and brings so much fulfillment to my heart. The lyrics are so true. No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we sin, He still loves us. And He's such a great, great Father. Not just good, He's great. I've heard a thousand stories, what they think you're like, but I
stars and planets into existence in a second, in like a million mile radius. And I thought, if God can create billions of stars and planets in a second, like imagine what he can do for you in your life. And I kept thinking, I just sit here in awe and complete gratitude for a God who never leaves the one behind, a God who loves unconditionally no matter what you've done, a God who's always there, and just a God that's so worthy of praise and deserving of praise. And I just think that we have total access to him, and I'm so grateful for that. And I cannot believe that we get to sit here and worship this God. And so just in this song, keep in mind that he's filling this atmosphere, like as we speak, and he's speaking all of this into existence right now, into our lives.
Thank you for letting us worship with you guys. and open our hearts today.
All right, I guess y'all through. Awesome. I think the church got a safe future, don't you? God is good all the time. All the time. Let's join hands with the person next to you, if you will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We ask, O Lord, we continue to send out prayers for those who are far away from you, that they'll be brought near to you. They'll come back to you. Thank you, God, for those that have. Thank you for those that are coming. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege that we can be anxious and worry about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our request be made known to you. Thank you for this time together. We ask you to open our ears to hear and let it sink deep inside the recesses of our soul to make us more like you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to share three words with you. I'm going to give you what these three words do, and I'm going to say it over and over again this morning several times, but there's three words that will be is the foundation of your Christian life that will get you through life, and it's the word restoration. Say restoration, rest, and renewal. Restoration comes by what you say, rest comes by what you do, and renewal comes by what you think. Restoration comes by what you say, rest comes by what you do, and renewal comes by what you think. So what you say, what you do, and what you think really makes up life, right? I remember when I was in school, they told me I needed to know three things: reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if I knew those three things, I could get through life. If I could read, if I could write, and if I could add and subtract. And I've done real well in reading and writing over the last 42 years. I've spent my last 42 years doing that every day of my life, practically. Every week and every month and every year, reading and writing messages and just reading and writing and writing. And I let the math up to Barbara to add. I do a lot of the subtracting, but she does most of the adding. But I try to keep the checkbook balanced, because you got to take some out too. I mean, the balanced checkbook, you got to add and subtract. So I do that part. But restoration is important, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, begin reading at verse 17, this is what Peter said. Some wonderful things was going on. Jesus had told his disciples, said, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there until you be endowed with power, until the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And there was about 120, and the Bible says they were in an upper room, and they were in one mind, they was in one accord, they was all together, they were thinking alike, they were worshiping alike, they were praying alike, and a strange phenomenon happened. A wind began to blow, a mighty rushing wind, the Bible says, and tongues of fire began to set upon them, and all of a sudden these 120 people from all different languages began to speak in what the scripture calls other tongues. And when they heard them speak in these languages that they did not know, they said, these people are drunk. And Peter said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which Joel prophesied, that in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, say all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even upon your handmaidens I'll pour out my spirit. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved or made whole. They will come to the realization of what they really were planted here on this earth for and created for. And then he goes on in Acts chapter 3 and he says, friends, I realize that what you did and what your leaders did to Jesus, you did it in ignorance. You never would have crucified the Son of God. You did that in ignorance. How many know that most of what happens bad in our life is because of ignorance? Somebody told me one time, what you don't know won't hurt you. That's not true. What you don't know will kill you. When I was learning to ride a motorcycle years ago, my wife had gone to school and she had learned, and so she was teaching me. And so I was going down this road that just made a complete left turn. And next thing I knew, I was down in the ditch and up in somebody's front yard. And so I finally got back out of the ditch and out of the yard and back on the road. And Barbara said, Bjorn, wherever you look, it's where the motorcycle's going. I said, well, that's a fine time to tell me now. You know, if you're looking this way, the bike will just go that way. If you're looking this way, it'll just go that way. If you're looking straight ahead, guess where it's going? In a ditch and in a yard. What you don't know can kill you. He said, you did this in ignorance. But I want you to know that God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold. Everything the prophets had spoken, everything they had foretold was happening right before their eyes. And he says that about that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins, turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. Then listen, times of refreshment or refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the restoration of all things. Aren't you glad that God's in the business of restoration of all things? As God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets. You are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you, the people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Amen. Ain't you glad that God's in the business of restoring? And he's in the business this time and this moment of restoring our ancient paths. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. If you'll do this, you will travel its path, you will find rest for your souls. But you said, no, that's not the road that we want. You know, they weren't saying verbally, no. They were just walking a different path. How many know when you do that, you're saying it? Two. Whether we say it or not, if we're walking a different path, we're saying no to God's will and yes to my will. And what God wants to do in the saving of our soul, which is our intellect and our will and our emotions, he wants to change our mind to think right. He wants to have our feelings to feel right. And he wants our mind to think right. And if we will think right, we will feel right and we will act right and our soul will be right, right? Gotcha. So how does this happen? How does restoration comes by what you say. Rest comes by what you do. Renewal comes by what you think. And so in Genesis chapter 1, it all started. You're talking about some Ancient of Days. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless, empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. I've said it for years. I'll say it again this morning. Genesis 1 is not so much about the creation of heaven and earth. It is about the restoration of the earth. Some way, somehow, God would not have formed, created an earth that was formless and empty and dark. Something happened. We don't know what happened, but something transpired. Something happened that caused this perfect earth to all of a sudden not be so perfect. And so God began to say something to bring order to it, to bring life to it, to bring order to it. God had to begin to say something. And let me tell you something. Every time we need to get back on the right path, or every time we need some restoration in our life, it's always going to start with what you say. It's always going to begin with what you say. If you say, my life's never going to change. If you say, it's always going to be this way. If you say, this always happens to me. I will never get better. I will never overcome this. I will never do this. As long as you're saying that, restoration can't begin. But the moment you begin saying something else about it, the moment you begin to say, I can do this, the moment you begin to say, I can be an overcomer, I will be an overcomer, I will not let this master me, I will master it. And when I begin to say that, restoration begins to happen. And God just kept speaking over this formless, chaotic earth. And light came, and a sun came, and a moon came, and vegetation came, and animals came, and mankind came, and good things came, and even God came and walked in the midst of the garden. Everything came about. And then the Bible says, and after God had created everything that he had created, after he had made everything that he had made, he said, and he rested on the Sabbath day. He didn't rest from labor. He rested in order. He rested because that which was chaotic was no longer chaotic. That which was dark was no longer dark. And that which was lifeless was no longer lifeless. He rested in that. Rest for your soul. I said it last week. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Rest for your soul. It was said of Jesus, he was a carpenter's son at 30 years of age. For 30 years, he worked in a carpenter shop. For 30 years, he was a carpenter. And at 30, he went into the ministry. But for 30 years, legend says that he made yokes for oxen. And that farmers would travel for miles and miles to come to Jesus for him to build their ox a yoke that fitted that ox just right. So when that ox labored, he could labor in comfort. Ain't God good? There's a yoke that he has for you, and it fits you perfectly. And you don't need to try to find a yoke different. I used to have a devotional book years ago, and I read something in it every day, and there was one devotion where this person was passing this field of crosses. And they had their cross that they were bearing. You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And they had their cross that they were carrying. And they came to this field. And there was all these crosses there. And they were some beautiful crosses. And they laid their cross down. They went into the field. And they picked up one cross that had all these flowers on it, and it was just so pretty. And they said, you know, I'd like to carry that cross. But when they put that cross on them, the thorns began to prick them in the shoulders. And they said, well, I don't really like this cross. And then they saw a cross that was gold and had precious stones all over it. And they said, I'd love to carry that cross because that's such a beautiful cross. So they picked up that beautiful cross and they began to carry it. But they said, man, this cross is just too heavy. And they laid that cross down. They went on and on for this cross and that cross and this cross. And they finally realized that when they picked up the cross that they had laid down, that that was the cross that they could carry the best. God's got something for you, and it's fitted just right for you. God's got a life just fitted just right for you. And you can't, don't try to carry somebody else's cross. Don't try to be yoked with something you don't need to be yoked with. If it's hard and it's difficult, it's not God's yoke for you. If it's painful and it's irritating, it's not God's yoke for you. Make sure that you're yoked with the yoke that God's fitted just for you. Years ago, when I was learning to preach, I would try to be like this one. I could imitate them pretty good. I had Oral Roberts down real good one time. I could go from Genesis to Revelation with who the Son of Man is. And I had Paul Walker down real good. I don't know if you ever know Paul Walker, but I had Paul Walker down pretty good too. And I had some different ones. And one Sunday after church, Barbara came up to me and said, when's Buren going to preach? I said, to what? She said, oh, I love Paul Walker this morning. He was good, but where's Buren? When's Buren going to preach? And so I realized, you know, I've got a gift that God's given me, and that's the one I need to preach. And so when I started preaching Buren style, things got really, really easy. When I just started doing it the way he's gifted me to do it, and not trying to be this person or that person, just be me. Just be who I am. All of a sudden, things got a whole lot better because I got fitted right. I got fitted right. I got fitted right. Do you hate clothes when they don't fit right? They don't fit. They don't feel right. Come on. I know what happens sometimes when they don't fit right. Well, you know what happened. I ain't going to go there. But you know what happened. But I went into my closet the other evening. It got literally cool, and I went and I put on this sweater thing, and I went into the den, and I sat down, and I just didn't like the way it felt. So I went back in. I got another one out and put it on. I went back into the den, and I just didn't like the way it felt. I went back in. All I was doing is sitting in the den. I wasn't going out. It wasn't like I really cared who saw me. I just didn't like the way it fit. And sometimes when things start irritating you, it's time to change. If it doesn't fit right, it needs to change. And so I finally found one that fit. I think it was extra, extra large. And it just really felt really comfortable. I'm glad through life, you know, it just keeps changing. I'm glad that there have been times when I got married, I weighed 140 pounds. I weighed 140 pounds. I wore 30 pants. I won't tell you what I wear now. I'm just going back to then. Now, that was too skinny. And so, as life progressed, clothes started not fitting right. And I realized what you got to do, Buren, is change the size. You're not a medium anymore. You can put it on, but you're not a medium no more. And so I went from a medium shirt, Will, golf shirt. I had a bunch of medium golf shirts. They weren't fitting. And I went to a large, Jason. And it felt so much better. I said, I'm glad I stepped it up. This feels right. This fits right. I can play golf with this or try. It feels right. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, the large wasn't fitting right. And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. I started this thing at 140 medium to 170 large. And all of a sudden, the large, I was blaming my golf game then, Billy, on my shirt. Just, I don't fit right. So I had to go to a extra large. And I put on the extra large, and it fit right. I thank God. He is such a great, good God. He just keeps making clothes that fit you right. Ain't God good? And one day on the golf course, when the extra large got tight, I said, that's it. Ain't going to extra, extra large. That's not going to happen. And so we've kind of reeled it in and maintained it for a bunch of years now. But, you know, God wants you to things to fit right. He wants your life to fit right. He wants your marriage to fit right. He wants your relationships to fit right. Because he's a God who wants you fitted the way he wants you fitted. Amen. God, restoration comes by what I say. Renewal comes by what rest comes by what I do. If I'm fitted right, I'll rest right. And renewal comes by what I think. Say what I think. In Romans chapter 12, he says that we are to give our bodies to God because of all he's done for us. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All because I just change the way I think. I'm so glad for this God of grace that he gives us, that gets us all the way through life, through every stage, through every decade. This week, I went to the hospital to see Elizabeth and her new baby. We're growing, by the way. Babies are being born. And I went from the hospital of a brand new baby all the way to hospice care for those that were coming into life and those that were leaving life. And you know what? The same grace that I found in the baby room was the same grace that I found in the hospice care room. The same different times of life, but there's amazing, marvelous grace was there. See, that God gave us something that will get us through this life in such a marvelous way, and it's called grace. And I want to end with this. The Bible says in Romans, where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. Now, I used to read that, and I just kind of had this idea that where sin was, grace was more. But it's more than that. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Not just more abounded, much more abounded. You got to hear that. Not just more abounded. That's great, because more is better than same, right? Just some more grace would be better than the sin. As much sin there was, as long as there was more grace, that'd be good, right? But he didn't say that. He said it's not just more grace, it's much more grace. And so I went to some ancient books of mine, and these ancient books is three commentaries that I've had since 1976. And these three commentaries was Greek word studies by a guy named Wiest. He's a Baptist theologian, and he goes through all the scriptures with the Greek words. And he had one chapter in the book that I hadn't read in a long time, and I just was flipping through the pages, and I came across this little title, and it said Super Abundant Grace. Not just abundant grace, but super abundant grace. Abundant grace. And then I read underneath it, and he said, he was in Romans, and he said, where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. And then he started defining this a marvelous word called grace, and he kept writing about it, and the more he wrote about it, the more I just got into it. And he used an analogy of the sun. He said God created everything, and he put this big ball of fire, huge big ball of fire in the sky, and we only receive a fraction of that sun. But he made it that big because he's saying something. That the light he's going to provide for us and the warmth he's going to provide for us, he's going to make sure that it's super abundantly enough. Aren't you glad God does super abundantly enough? Oh, I was going to memorize this and make y'all think I came up with it, but I can't fool you that way. But I want to read it to you. And so after he talked about this big old ball of fire that is so huge, and we only use a fraction of it. He said, there's enough grace in God's heart of love to save and keep saved for time and eternity every sinner that has ever lived and will live. Then enough left over to save a million more universes full of sinners where there's such a thing as that. There's enough grace available to give every saint constant victory over sin and then some more. There's enough grace to meet and cope with all the sorrows, all the heartaches, all the difficulties, all the temptations, all the testings and trials of human existence, and more added to that. God's salvation is an oversized salvation. I like that. Oversized salvation. It is shockproof, stainproof, unbreakable, all-sufficient. It is of an infinite God, freely bestowed and righteously given through the all-sufficient sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. Salvation is all of grace. Trust God's grace. It is super abounding grace. For where sin abound, grace much more abound. And when the first Adam was a living soul, the second Adam was a life-giving spirit. The first Adam brought death, the second Adam brought life. The first Adam brought sin in, the second Adam brought righteousness in. The first Adam brought bad stuff in, the second Adam brought all good stuff in. The second Adam said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more. Wow. Not just barely get by. No. Give me a little music while I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you can probably, the kids will come back up, and they're not kids. They'll come back up in a minute. But he wants not just a little for you. He wants a lot for you. Not for you to barely get by. We used to sing the song, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Used to be a song we sang when I was coming up as a little boy. Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. In other words, I'm not worthy of anything beyond that. Don't you know, I heard a guy say this one time and I didn't fully understand it. He said, you know, God don't ride tourists. I said, do what? He said, God don't ride tourists. It's not for you to go see, it's for you to have. It's not for you to want, it's for you to receive. It's not for you to desire it. It's for you to receive your desires of your heart. God wants to do so much more. The Bible says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can imagine or think. And so, when you ask, don't be afraid to ask for the big. Don't think you're unworthy, because you are worthy. You're so worthy that he bankrupt heaven and gave his son Jesus Christ for you. That's the price he paid. It's the price he paid for you. He paid an extreme price. Now, if God paid that price for you, don't you know he wants to do for you more than you can imagine or even think? But abundantly more than that. Super abundantly more than that. And see, that's where our mind needs to go. That's where our mind needs to go now, is that not, Lord, just meet my need. He wants to do more than that. He wants to do so much more than that. So much more than that. so much more than that. But you got to know and believe that. Some people went on a cruise years ago, supposedly a true story, I don't know. But they carried saltines and little canned meats with them. And the whole time on the cruise, they ate these saltine crackers and the little canned meats they had, not realizing that the price of the cruise included the dinners. And so they ate saltines and crackers, not realizing that everything else was already paid for. There's too many people in the church like that who are eating saltines and sardines. And I like that every now and then. I have to admit, I like a saltine cracker and a good old sardine every now and then. I know. But I don't want to eat that all the time. I want something more than that. God wants you to know there's more for you. And then there's some more for you. And then there's some more for you. And then there's some more. And as long as you are breathing and living, as a matter of fact, not only that, for eternity, there's always more. A million years from now, there'll be more and some more and some more. He'll just keep giving you some more. Life is not to get bogged down. Life is to be lived joyfully. Life's to be lived with Him exchanging your burdens and giving you a light yoke, making it easy. He wants to make life easy for you. Easy. See, rest is not, sometimes rest is inactivity. Sometimes the body just needs to lay down and rest. But rest in Scripture is not inactivity. It's rest in activity. It's you're peaceful and restful in it. You with me? That even in the midst of it, there's this supernatural, godly peace and rest that goes along with it, because He's fitted you right. And He's going to keep giving you more and more and more. A few years ago, I was sitting in my study, and I have a little New Testament Bible, and I was memorizing some scripture, and I couldn't do what I did years ago. At least I thought I couldn't do. And so this is what I said. I'm getting too old to memorize scripture. You believe I said that? I did, though. I said to myself, you're too old. You can't memorize scripture like you used to. All of a sudden, I stood up. I stomped my foot. I said, I ain't receiving that. I'm talking back to myself. I said, Buren, I'm not receiving that. You're not too old to memorize scripture. So I just, my little New Testament has Psalms and New Testament. I just popped open Psalms. I just, wherever it hits, one of them, wherever it hits. It hit on a psalm. I looked at that psalm and I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I am not going to say I can't memorize. All of a sudden, in about 5 minutes, I had memorized the entire chapter of this one psalm. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He's not lifted up his soul into vanity, neither hath he sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the God of his salvation. He gives his money out and he doesn't charge any usury for it, because God's a good God. All of a sudden, I said, if I can do that one, I can do another one. And I flipped over another one. And in 5 minutes, I done, because I said, I can. And what I memorize at 20, I can memorize at 60. And what I memorize at 60, I can memorize at 67. And what I'm memorizing at 67, I'm going to memorize in 68. And I'm not going to stop until God says, come on home, boy. It's more. It's more for you. It's more for you. And stand. More for you. Say it's more for me. It's more. My life can get better and better and better. God is a good Father. Isn't he? You know, I'm sitting there and the youth band can be coming back. You guys get ready. But when I was looking up at them, I realized, I was trying to calculate in my mind that here's the third generation of young people I've seen come up in this house. Generations that have gone into ministry, gone in, just mature, strong believers. And that's what it's all about. It's more. You see, what you need to understand in this house that there's not thousands, there's not hundreds and hundreds of people. But I'll tell you what there is in this house. Strong, mature believers. And it's probably not a given Sunday. There's not 25 or 30 people I could put on that platform and preach a message. And I'm not exaggerating. This house has been built on a minister of restoration. I started thinking this week about all the ministers that this house restored during a time when ministers was falling and they were being kicked out of denominations. They were being just thrown to the sidelines. We took them in and we dusted them off, paid them salaries. They didn't have to do a thing but sit and listen. Took care of their families. And I don't want to forget about that. And I believe that I heard this week, Buren, this church ain't done with restoration. Going to be some more. It's going to be some more. A man stood in this pulpit 2 weeks ago. You heard a little bit of his story. Took care of him and his family for months while he transitioned into the ministry in a different ministry. God never throws away. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. And he don't waste gifts on people. He don't waste anything. He don't waste hurts. He don't waste pain. He don't waste trials. He don't waste depression. He don't waste nothing. He says, because whatever's there, there's more grace for that. Apostle Paul said one time, I prayed, Lord, this thorn in my flesh, please remove it from me. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And there have been way smarter theologians than me try to figure that thorn out. Nobody has. Nobody's figured it out. But whatever it was, God said, I got enough grace for you. And not just some grace. I got superabundant grace for you. More than you could even begin to imagine. Jason, I want to give you this walking stick. Says, we're the vine, you're the branches. You've been a blessing here. Thank you for all you've done here and will continue to do. You're a good man. You're a good man. We love you. Bow your heads for just a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person here, whatever may be happening in their life, I speak your super abundant grace over them. Not just more grace than they're going through, but super abundant more. So much more, Lord, that we can't even begin to imagine how much more it is. And Lord, we receive that super, super abundant grace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know what amen means? So be it. So let it be. So let it be.
And you need to check and see if you got...
I got it. Go ahead.
You need to give that information. If you have your connection card, I want you to make sure that you have filled that out and are communicating with us in the back of the sanctuary. Our four boxes, one at each door. We want you to take that connection card and drop it in that box. That is also where you can take your offering. If you brought that this morning, your tithe, you can drop it in that box. On the last Sunday of each month, we put the alms box down front. And that is just a reminder. You can always give to alms anytime you want to. If you fill out an envelope, you can put it on there. Or at the bottom in the memo of your check, you can put it there. Or online, those of you that give online, you can just mark it there. But it's just a reminder. And I was reminded yesterday as I had the opportunity to serve at Rushton Hope. And we served about 200 meals yesterday. And just loved on people as they walked through the line. And it was because of your giving in this box or online or however you give your alms that we're able to buy the food that a team cooked the meal that another team went and then served. So there's ways for you to be involved and that you can do. And so we encourage you to do that. Two things I want to remind you of is, one, you don't even know about this probably, but as you're leaving, it's on the door out front. And it is a National Day of Prayer, which is always the first Thursday in May. I have attended the last 10 years here in Spalding County, and it's on the veranda at the courthouse steps. And it is a organization that kind of puts that together. There's a couple of churches that are the main ones that do that. But I've been invited to speak the 10-minute little prayer time. So I'm excited about that. So I encourage you, if you don't have anything going on at lunchtime, step out to the veranda at the courthouse. And there's usually about 100 people or so there just praying for unity for our community and our nation. Next Sunday, very important. Right, you need to make plans right after service. We're going for a cookout. It is at the City Park. Everybody say City Park. It is not at the Pavilion. Occasionally we do them at the Pavilion. Occasionally we do them at City Park. But it is at City Park. And so your barbecue chicken, baked bean, coleslaw meal will be waiting on you. If you don't show up, we're going to have a lot left over. This is an opportunity to invite somebody that you might not would, maybe they're not ready to come to church yet, but they can come to a cookout with you. So if you want to come dressed for a cookout, kind of like Brandon is right now, you'd be good to go. It's next week, Brandon. Just teasing. Just teasing. Don't you love Eagles Way that you can come as you are and enjoy being who you are? And
that's
the importance
funny. I don't care who you are.
Of that love and that acceptance that is there. So as the praise team begins to worship, if you want to come and give to the alms, and you have one thing you need to...
Yeah. I got this on. Pamela McElroy's father went to his eternal reward early yesterday morning, and visitation is going to be tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at Hastings Funeral Home. And then the funeral is Monday. They didn't give me a time. It just says at Lion Creek Baptist Church. So we'll put it out on email exactly. He came to church here for several years until he had to move in with his other daughter who lives in Noonan. But he's a great man. Loved God, loved his family. Just a great, great man that I know they're going to miss greatly. But we know where he is. All right, you guys, you did it well. You did it well. You're still going to do it well, right?
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I see many searching for answers, far and wide, but I know we're all searching. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.